Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to another episode of Mind Your Farm Business podcast on realagriculture.com, which is brought to you by RBC Financial. Thanks a lot to RBC for being the sponsor of this great podcast. If you want to get more archived episodes of Mind Your Farm Business, you can go to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. So today we're going to talk a little bit about farm business planning. And I've got a very good friend of realagriculture.com, Rob Hannum, who is the owner and founder of Synthesis Agri-Food Network based in Guelph, Ontario. Now, Rob is a special consultant because of the fact he grew up on a farm. He's been involved in agriculture his whole life. He gets an opportunity to work with clients across the country on strategic and operational planning. Now, when we look at creating a farm business plan, not as many of you are doing it as one might think. According to an Ipsos Agriculture and Animal Health study called Dollars and Cents, conducted in 2015, only 26% of Canada's farmers have a business plan. That's right, 26%. The study also shows that farmers who have a written business plan and they review it annually get 5 times higher return on assets than those who don't. The proof is in the pudding. The data is there. People should be doing a business plan. Let's get to our discussion with Rob and ask him, based on these numbers, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, it's pretty shocking, Sean. I was actually involved in that study a little bit, and the financial results for those farmers who plan are shockingly higher than those who don't. And so it's really something that we need to think about and kind of, you know, think about each farmer out there listening should think about their own operation and themselves and say, hey, maybe I could benefit from this, or do I do this, or do I do this well enough? Myself, I'm a planner. I really actually enjoy planning and that time to think about my business, my operation, and my future, whether it's personal or business. But maybe that's second, not so as second nature for some of us in the farming business, and maybe that's one of our biggest downfalls as we got into farming because we like it's a hands-on kind of business and work, and this is more about thinking and maybe talking to others and writing, so it doesn't come, you know, as second nature as the production aspects of our job.
Well, just imagine what our the increase in GDP from our sector we could have if we had more than 25% of people actually doing a business plan.
There you go. I'm not too worried about overall GDP. I'm more thinking, can I improve my farm business if I plan a little bit better or differently than I did last year? I'm a believer in it. So let's talk more about how to do it.
Yeah, let's drop down to the farm level. Okay, Rob. So what does the farm plan actually have to look like? Because I think a lot of people are sort of fixated on this idea that it's this thick book with charts and graphs and tables and calculations that's as thick as an old encyclopedia. That's sort of dating me. I'm talking about encyclopedias. But what actually does it look like?
So a good farm business plan is one that gets used. As simple as that. I've had the pleasure to work with many farm families across Ontario and a few other provinces as well, and I've seen a range of versions of farm business plans that they've had prior to me kind of working with that family. And lots of times they're a thicker document, 20 or 30 pages and lots of words. And in my opinion, that's maybe those plans were written and developed with a good process, and that's important. But at first glance, I think that those must be written for a different audience. The audience, therefore, was maybe the banker. We were expanding. We needed a loan. The banker said, we need a business plan. So we got a business plan, and it helped the banker explain our situation internally at the bank. And that's a valid and good reason. But that actual plan maybe isn't as useful to me in running the farm. So what I'd like to talk about and sort of share with you is some of my thoughts on what is a business plan that gets used, you know, every year as something that can help the farm operation plan. I get a lot of objections as to why would I do a plan, you know, weather can change, the markets can change, so why am I planning? It doesn't matter anyway. My sales could be up 20% if the markets go up, or my sales could be down 20% if I don't get rain. While those things are real, for me, it's all the more reason to have a plan. So you've got a contingency, or so you're not reactive and really concerned about the drought. You've got a multi-year plan, and you kind of know where you're headed. So for me, it's all the more reason to plan. When you look at other non-ag businesses that are impacted by weather, ski resorts, huge impact if they get snow or don't get snow. And I bet you they have a business plan and they have contingencies either way. And the same thing would be true for a resort in the south. If they get great weather, they've got lots of sales. If they get poor weather, that's a change of their business plan as well. And they have a plan, so why don't we have more plans for our farms?
Okay, so let's drop it down another level, Rob. We want to have a plan that's going to get used. What should be in it?
So I go through sort of four steps, and at the end of the day, the first one is about vision and direction. So it's got to be about that future to set and share with team members, whether that's family or your employees or just your advisors, where we're headed in the future. So that vision and direction for the farm is the first step in that plan, and a very important piece. Where are we going in 5 or 10 years? The second is looking at those external factors. What are the forces and what are the trends and what are the opportunities that are coming up around me that are going to impact my business? They could be positive things like a growth in population or a food trend, or they could be negative things like a change in consumer tastes or a change in regulations or a competitor in a different country or next door. So those are the things that are outside of my farm gates. What are those things that will impact my business? And do a bit of an assessment of that external. Some people call it environmental scan. I think of it in terms of what are the trends and forces impacting my farm. So that's step two. Step three is an action plan. What am I going to do about it? I've got this long-term vision. I've looked at all these forces and opportunities. So now what am I going to do? And I really, in the action planning part of it, I really like to have a focus on writing some goals, writing some actions down, and being really specific about what that will be. So maybe, adding staff, team, our employees will really help us expand our farm operation in the future. But to have a good team, we need to be clear on the roles and responsibilities and make it a good place to work. So improving our human resources or writing job descriptions or looking at our pay, ranges that we have for our employees, those types of things might be the actions that come out of our business plan. Financing or refinancing, there's a whole range of things that can come out, but making sure those actions are really specific. Who's going to do them? By what time? Is that this fall? Is that before harvest? Is that in a winter job? And then just make sure we get to it in the winter, because all of a sudden it'll be planting again and we haven't done it. The fourth part is about the numbers. It's a scorecard. And I really promote having some kind of a scorecard. We keep score in lots of ways in life. I like a scorecard that looks a few years back and a few years forward. It's not just about last year and this year. Planning out 3 or 5 years in the future, but also looking back 2 or 3 years, and pick out the numbers that you'd like to track. It might be sales, it might be average yield per acre or pounds of gain per day, but there's also likely some financial ratios that you should be tracking. And that Ipsos agriculture study, that dollars and cents study, really focused on financial ratios, and I'm an it's really important because it takes the size of your farm kind of out of the equation. It takes the market prices this year versus last year kind of out of the equation and really focuses on the ratio of your operating efficiency or the ratio of your debt to equity or return on assets, as you mentioned. And I like to see that as part of the scorecard as well. That's the four steps. Vision, where am I headed? Forces and trends that are impacting me. An action plan of what we're going to do about it, and a scorecard to keep track of it.
Is this a living document, or is this something, like how often, what does the cycle look like? Do I come back to it once a week, every day, once a month, once a year, maybe once a decade for some of us? How much am I allowed to change it?
Oh, how much are you allowed to change it and how much do I come back to it are different questions. So it should be a living document, as you call it. It's something that can change because the forces around us do change, right? We set our sights on this. We're headed in a certain direction and maybe the regulations change or maybe an export market opens up or it closes or maybe the farm next door comes up for sale. there's lots of things that change the plan, so it needs to be flexible and be updated. For me, I really think it should be something that at least once a year you're sitting down with your advisors, your business partner, your family members, your lead employees, and having a thorough planning session. And for lots of folks, that happens over the winter, but it doesn't have to. It can happen any time of the year, really. But at least a once a year thorough review, and then make changes to that plan and write it down, like physically, you know, delete what you had before and add in the new direction. That's the ideal. I do promote that you review it quarterly, four times a year. You get the plan out, you look at it, what are the actions? Oh, we didn't. We said human resources are important. We're going to write job descriptions. We didn't do it. Well, why didn't we do it? We just didn't like that work, or it wasn't actually important. And sort that out and either delete it off the action plan or get down to it and get it done.
Now, Rob, something I thought of here is that, you know, farmers tend to be a little bit of, they tend to be private people, independent private people. Plan for just you, or is it something that you could see value in by sharing it with key members of your team, like some of your employees?
Great question. So I guess I'm a believer that having that shared vision and direction is really important. So there's going to be things in this plan that I do recommend you share with your family, with your business partners, with your staff, your employees, your banker, your lender, your nutritionist, your agronomist. There are things that are likely important there as well. There's confidential numbers that should be in your scorecard, and maybe you don't want to share that with all of your employees. Fair enough. But there's definitely that high-level aspects of where you're going that I really recommend you share with others. Because having a shared vision, people can't always read your mind. Sometimes I even get frustrated with that. Hey, how come you couldn't do it the way I wanted it done? Well, people aren't mind readers. So with this in mind, it's a tool. This business plan I'm talking about with these four steps, it might take you a few weeks of thinking to figure it out, but it might only be, you know, two or three sheets of paper in the end, or even one sheet of paper with a few key things written down. It doesn't have to be a big 30-page document to me. But by sharing that with your family, with your brother, with your other, you know, future owners of the farm, you make lots of progress, and they know what you're thinking and where you're headed, and you can have a good discussion from there on.
Well, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are saying, well, how long should it be? And from what I'm hearing you say, my guess is that length is not as important as the fact you're going to use it all the time.
Yeah, the discussion and the thinking that goes into it is the most important part for me. The recording it and coming back to it and checking is the next most important thing. And so some people, you know, like the numbers. Some people like the words and more of a narrative or a story. Some people like charts and bar graphs. So make it work for you. Just wrapped up a strategic plan that we helped a farm business with, and it ends up being a 3-page plan, and it's got some charts and numbers that they can sort of track over time. And they've got a scorecard, and they're going to figure out what are the financial ratios and what are the numbers that are really important to them. But probably the biggest aspect of it was getting all the family members on the same page about what's the long-term vision and the discussions that went into that and that they had, you know, with us and without and on their own, and will continue to have, are really, really important.
For some of the people that you've worked with that haven't planned in the past, and then they go through the process and they achieve some of the results they want, what's kind of a common reaction? I wish I would have earlier, or what do the people usually say?
The reaction we usually get is that they tend to meet more as a family or as a management team or as a group of owners. So usually when we, you know, in my experience, it's a family business and there's some kind of succession plan or it's just some kind of business expansion going on. So there's stuff to talk about that doesn't always get talked about unless they've got a business plan that they're updating and moving forward. So the biggest reaction we get is that they meet more regularly and they talk more about the business in concrete terms as opposed to casual conversations that may not have a conclusion or an end. So less rambling, more focused discussion, and more deliberate. I really want folks to be more proactive and less reactive. And the business plan process and then the document or the tool you create really does that. It really helps you be more proactive, be thinking about those things to change in the future, as opposed to waking up every day and having a fire to fight because the market price changed or because something happened that we weren't expecting in the barn. So those are the things. The proactive versus reactive is a huge positive change for having that business plan.
Yeah, a really good point. And I think also the word, you know, one of the words that you used earlier that I think is really, really critical is specific. Be specific about, you know, that vision and direction. Be specific about what some of those external factors are. Be specific about the action plan. Just having a conversation at 100,000 feet might, you know, you can have a business plan, but if it's all dealing with fluff, it doesn't really necessarily help you in the long run.
Yeah, and just thinking back to the benefit you talked about right off the bat with that return on assets ratio, the farms with a business plan, you know, much more successful financially in that survey. And I, you know, there's lots of farmers in that survey. It was well done, and they really came back to a number of kind of habits, I would say, and one of them is never stop learning. So they really talked about extra education, learning, always being open to new things. And that can happen lots of ways. There's lots of good conferences and good knowledge workshops that are offered. There's your online schools that you offer, Sean, and other things. Keeping your finances up to date, developing a budget and a financial plan, those were also among those habits. And so that business plan, writing a plan down, those are one of those habits that those highly successful farms had.
One of the things I love about Mind Your Farm Business is that we try to leave you with some practical tips and things to do to really make a difference in your farm business. And this episode was really no different. So when you're going to sit down and you're going to write the farm business plan with, you know, by yourself or with other people in your family, the farm owners, ask yourself the question first, who is the plan written for? Make sure it's written for yourselves. Make sure the plan has vision and direction. You look at the external factors that are impacting your business or ability to achieve your goals. Write down the action plan and make sure in that action plan, your goals are specific so that whoever reads it understands very clearly what they are trying to achieve. And then finally, make sure there are numbers. Put down some numbers in a scorecard so that you can keep score to see exactly where you measure up. I'm reminded of the saying, hope is not a plan. And for the other 75 or 74% of people that aren't doing a plan, as indicated in the Ipsos study, they're really relying on hope as a plan. I really want to thank RBC Financial for being the sponsor of Mind Your Farm Business. Special thanks to them, as well as Rob Hannum for taking the time to join us today. Until next time, I'm Sean Haney from RealAgriculture.com, and this has been another episode of Mind Your Farm Business.